equinox. Meet me halfway. When the sun is perched at its highest peak in the middle of the day, let me give my bonus podcast episode to you. This is Columbia House Party. I'm Blake. Jake, what's going on, man?
Oh, you know, another day, I guess. I don't know. It's all kind of the same.
Love it. We just opened this podcast the exact same way as the last one. Another day.
Well, what are we gonna say?
They're all the same.
We're all stuck in our houses, sitting at home.
Yeah. Well, Jake, today we're talking about movies as much as music. So let me ask: during your quarantine so far, have you watched any good movies?
Not really. We've been like rewatching, like finding TV shows that have like that we've seen before, but have like a ton of episodes. So it's just like
okay. That.
It's like we've run through all of Futurama now.
Oh, awesome! That's one I should go back and do.
Yeah, it's really.
What is it on?
We procured it.
Gotcha.
Semi-legally.
Say no more.
We're now most of the way through a rewatch of all of Bob's Burgers, which is always a joy. We watched that movie, The Platform, that's on Netflix.
I don't know that one.
It just came out. It's like a Spanish horror movie, kind of.
Oh,
cool. It was okay. We watched Tiger King, of course. And then last night we watched Spy Kids, which is still Spy Kids.
Won't be the only kids movie that comes up in this episode, shockingly. My viewing habits during this have suited today's podcast pretty well. Like, I've mostly just been going back to like early 2000s, late 90s comedy. Like, I just want something pretty mindless and something I only have to pay half attention to. And I've mixed in some horror movies just because, like, that's what I like to watch. If I were, like, under normal circumstances, if I were having, like, a movie night in, that's what I would want to watch. So I've tried to mix that in. But mostly I'm just going for, like I rewatched Van Wilder. I rewatched all the American Pie movies.
Yeah, I've been...
Stuff like that. I rewatched Harold and Kumar, which is so weird.
Oh, I haven't watched it in a long time, but I loved that movie.
There is the thing with all of these is, like, it's striking how cool everyone was with like homophobia as humorous content not all that long ago.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Also, like racism, even if the main characters are people of color.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Like, that's kind of the point in Harold and Kumar.
Yeah, that's why I always liked it a little more. It seemed a little smarter than the others, but I'm sure it's not in 2020. But I agree with you though. Part of me is like, I'd like to watch, like, catch up on some movies or TV shows I miss that are, like, kind of heavy, but I don't really want to watch anything super heavy right now.
I certainly don't want to watch The Leftovers.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Cassie hasn't seen season 2 and 3, and I've been, like, constantly being like, you gotta watch it. You're gonna love it. We have to watch it. And I've thought about suggesting it a couple times, and, like, because we're just nothing to do. I'm like, I don't want to watch that right now.
No. No, it's like Rectify is apparently another really good show, but like
that's so good.
It seems too much. Like if I needed a TV show, I was working my way back through like Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Parks and Rec, just like doing the Michael Schur loop.
Yeah.
Those are always rewatchable.
Yeah, those are good ones. Yeah, I cannot recommend Rectify highly enough, but not right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's kind of what I might go back and rewatch Friday Night Lights.
I was thinking about doing that one too, actually.
I don't know if it's streaming on anything though, but we'll figure it out.
I think it's on Prime.
Okay,
if you have
that'd
that.
Be good.
Yeah, I was thinking about that one too.
All right, I rewatched some of the movies we're going to talk about today. Also, today we're going to talk about our favorite soundtracks. We're not going to talk about them necessarily in an order 1 through 5. We just kind of brought 5. It's impossible to like think of every soundtrack and make sure you're not missing anything. Like the honorable mention list we'll get into at the end is very long here, but we both brought 5 of our favorite soundtracks to discuss, and we're going to do that coming up. They all said she's just another groupie slut. And I said I thought you were anything but. And again, sometimes reputations outlive their applications. Sometimes fires don't go out when you're done playing with them. I feel so funny. Kiss me goodbye, sugar high. That there is a song called Sugar High by Coyote Shivers. It is from the movie Empire Records, which may or may not come up. Maybe it's a post top five discussion. We'll see. I thought an original song from a movie about music was a fitting choice to get us going here. But Jake, to really get us going on our top five favorite soundtracks each, I'm going to leave you to start us off here.
I'm not going to say this is the greatest soundtrack of all time, but I'm also not.
It's up there.
I'm also not going to say it's the greatest soundtrack of all time. And that is, of course, the classic, timeless American Pie 2 soundtrack. Not American Pie 1, but American Pie 2. This is an insanely good soundtrack. It's sort of comprised of both album cuts and, like, random, I don't know if you could even call them B-sides, and also songs from bands I've never heard of before. It starts off, as the movie does, with Every Time I Look for You by Blink-182, which we have talked about at length, but is one of the, I would say, especially of that era, Blink, one of their best songs.
I also still remember how mad at me you got when I set up that song with the fake story in our Blink-182 episode.
That is also true. But I think it's sort of like a perfect Blink song in certain ways. It's not my favorite by any means, but I think we said this in the Blink episode, but I don't think anyone in our generation can hear it and not immediately think of the beginning of American Pie 2.
Yeah, and when you say it's perfect, it's maybe not a perfect song, but in terms of it being a perfect fit for the movie and Blink and American Pie 2 together kind of being a perfect snapshot of what pop culture was like at that exact moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I promise I'm not going to go through this track by track, even though I want to. But the second track is a amazing, amazing Green Day B-side from Warning, a song called Scumbag. You're shaking your head. You're not into this one, huh?
No, it's fine. It's just like, of course you brought up Green Day this early.
Of course. The better American Hi-Fi single is on this soundtrack, Vertigo, which is a better song than Flavor of the Week.
Awesome song.
There is a Uncle Cracker song on here that I don't like. Also, as I know they're like MAGA chuds, but Be Like That by Three Doors Down is a great, like, butt rock sad song.
Three Doors Down are MAGA chuds?
Yeah, didn't they? They played the inauguration.
Oh, that sucks.
They're like
not that I had an attachment to Three Doors Down, but
Alien Ant Farm is on this soundtrack. There's a great song by a band I've never heard of that's one of the catchiest songs in the world called Cheating by a band called Jettingham. It's not a good song by any means, but it's extremely catchy and has been stuck in my head for like 10 years. There's a really great song called Smokescreen by a band called Flying Blind. This band doesn't even have a Wikipedia page, so I don't know how you're going to find it, but it's an amazing pop punk song. Definitely check it out. And my favorite song on this soundtrack by the legendary Phoenix TX is a song called Phoebe Cates.
Phoenix TX. The lead singer looks like if you did a face mash of Mark Hoppus and Matt Skiba.
Yes, he does. Absolutely true. That song maybe hasn't aged well lyrically because it's basically just about him masturbating to Phoebe Cates' nude scene in Fast Times Ridgemont High. But it is an extremely catchy and great stupid pop punk song.
Also, the weird, like, you're not only masturbating to that scene then, but that scene is also a guy masturbating to that.
Correct.
So you are masturbating to a scene of a guy masturbating to Phoebe Cates. This is all, there's some layers there.
Phoenix TX, I told you, America by Two soundtrack, it's got layers. Then there's a couple more songs. Of course, Fat Lip is on there, which, as we all know, is a classic. There's also a band on here called The Exit, which are a different band than another band I really like called The Exit, who released one record called Home for an Island like 10 years ago. It's totally, they're not on the soundtrack, this Exit, but you should check out that record because it's really good.
The biggest thing that stood out to me, like I said, I recently rewatched the American Pie movies. The American Pie 1 soundtrack is like pretty good and serves its purpose, and then it kind of hits its flow at American Pie 2. American Wedding, and I think that it, American Wedding is the worst of the four, like, primary.
I would agree, yeah.
Like, if we cut it off at American Reunion, because I think there are some, like, American Pie whatever that weren't, like, they weren't the main cast or whatever anymore, right? Yeah, they're like the
direct-to-video ones.
Yeah, the, like, with Stifler's younger brother.
Yeah. I will say, though, I remember I saw American Reunion in theaters, maybe aided by some substances, maybe not.
Who knows?
But we had like the best time and we thought it was so good. And we're like, I can't believe how good this movie is. We rewatched it like a couple years later. That movie is not good.
No,
that movie is not.
I still think it's better than American Wedding, which basically centers around Finch and Stifler doing a personality swap to try to get January Jones. It's very weird.
Yes, I agree with you that it's definitely better than American Wedding, but it's not as good as I thought. I left that theater being like, that might be better than American Pie 2. It's not.
It's not
at all.
And what's disappointing to me with American Wedding, watching it back, was like, I think they took the wrong things away from the American Pie 2 soundtrack being such a hit and such a great fit for the movie. Like, all they did on the American Wedding soundtrack was take the, like, top 40 hits from, like, the poppiest pop punk bands. Like,
yes.
It's just like, hey, here's the Simple Plan single. Here's Sum 41's third single off their second album or whatever. It's like, I don't know if that's actually what it is, but they missed the entire point of what made the American Pie 2 soundtrack so special and helped elevate that movie. And they were just like, no, people just want top 40 pop punk songs.
And I think that actually suits the movie because American Wedding is very much a movie that missed the idea or that took the wrong things away from the other American Pie movies. And we're like, oh, people just want more Stifler, right?
Nope.
Because, like, Stifler's whole appeal is that he's, like, a side character.
Also, the weird thing where, like, he's not invited to the wedding and then is suddenly in the wedding party.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
We don't need to get into that. We will transition now to a movie that fit the same time period-ish and the same kind of energy as American Pie 2. And unlike the American Pie series, it's completely flawless and it's the best movie of all time. We're talking, of course, about Can't Hardly Wait, which came out a little earlier in 1998. Yes, some bias here, ranking it as one of my top soundtracks because it is one of my favorite movies ever. But like American Pie 2, this one is, you know, it gets points not only for having a great soundtrack, but using that music effectively, not beating you over the head with it, not just, you know, going with the commercial hits. It's very similar, actually, to American Pie 2 in kind of how it tries to use pop punk or pop punk adjacent music to snapshot what life was like for teens in the late 90s, kind of turn of the century. The movie includes Third Eye Blind, Blink 182, Feeder, The Replacements, Busta Rhymes, Missy Elliott and Lil' Kim, Run DMC, Parliament, Smash Mouth with a non-all-star hit. There's a subplot based around Barry Manilow. The song Mandy that Ethan Embry is kind of melting down about is not actually on the soundtrack. So all those bands I mentioned earlier are on the soundtrack. And then you also get bands that are in the movie but not on the soundtrack. And this is where it kind of loses some points, because some of the best songs used in the movie are not on the actual soundtrack. But you get two Eve 6 songs, a Sublime song, Creed, 311, a Jennifer Love Hewitt original.
What's the song that plays when she walks into the party?
Like when everyone stops.
Yeah.
And like, I can't believe she came. It's Six Underground by Sneaker Pimps.
Okay.
Which is, you know, it fits that scene really well. And then it goes to like the shot of her yearbook and like you find out about her.
Yeah. I think because that scene has been sort of parodied so much and it's sort of like the like iconic scene from the movie, in my brain, the song that's playing there is like it's, I know that it's not There She Goes, because I know that she's all that. But in my brain, it's that kind of like big hit. And it's fun. Yeah. It's kind of funny to me that it's not, in a way.
So this soundtrack, by the way, hit number 25 on the Billboard 200. So I'm not alone in loving the soundtrack. It was scored by David Kate, who was originally an opera singer by training, but has also worked on, so in addition to Can't Hardly Wait, soundtracks for Dude, Where's My Car, Loser, Clueless, Tomcats, and a bunch more.
Tomcats, holy shit.
I know. And like, I think Dude, Where's My Car was like a close cut for you on this too,
It
right?
was. Dude, Where's My Car almost made my list.
This dude's great. This is our guy for soundtracks.
Yeah. Man, I haven't thought about the movie Tomcats in a long time.
Yeah.
Jerry O'Connell and Jake Busey, I want to say.
Yeah, and Shannon Elizabeth.
Right, that's right.
Yeah, Nadia.
Coming off American Pie. Man.
Shocking that they got her back for American Pie 2. All right, moving on. Jake, what's your next album here?
So kind of similar to what you were just saying about Can't Hardly Wait, about how you're a little biased because it's one of your favorite movies ever. One of my favorite movies ever also made my soundtrack list, which is Gross Point Blank.
Can't go wrong with Cusack, man, or Minnie Driver.
I was going to say, surprisingly, there's only one Cusack movie on this list, but...
We could talk about it now. High Fidelity is not an elite soundtrack.
It is not. That's true.
Despite being a movie about music.
There's so many good songs in that movie.
Right.
But I think it's because sort of what we were just talking about with Can't Hardly Wait and American Pie 2, how the movie, even though it's about music, like the songs that are directly sort of called out in the movie, I feel like the movie uses really well. Like the montage of him selling 10 copies of the 3 EPs by the Beta Band while Dry the Rain is playing is perfect and amazing. But everything else in the movie, it doesn't really use music that much.
Right. And I think part of it too is like, because it's not about the music, it's about how this dude uses music as a crutch and as a personality.
Exactly. And so I feel like the movie doesn't sort of blend it in as well. Which is why I love the Gross Point Blank soundtrack, because it is very much a movie that is not about music at all, but it is about nostalgia and what we grow up with. And the movie is just full of these songs playing all the time and sort of guiding it through. The other thing that I love about the soundtrack, and we're going to talk about this a few times throughout this episode, is that this soundtrack was composed and put together by Joe Strummer, of course, of The Clash, which I just think is really cool. And it's also just a really kick-ass soundtrack of the 80s songs and 90s songs, I guess. You have Blister in the Sun, Violent Femmes, Rudy Can't Fail by The Clash, Mirror in the Bathroom, English Beat, David Bowie and Queens Under Pressure, Faith No More is on here, The Jam, who are the better band between The Jam and The Clash, but that's a take for another day. Jam are on here, The Clash are on here, Pete Townsend's on here, a re-recorded version of Blister in the Sun is on here for some reason. And then in the movie, you have Eels, you have The Specials, you have Echo and the Bunnymen, you have Susie and the Banshees, you have Aha. Like, it's just a stacked, stacked movie for music. And it's a movie that uses music so well to sort of put you in that mindset of the things we liked in high school, which is kind of the point of the movie. I think it's such a well put together soundtrack. And I think it's really interesting that Joe Strummer did it. And we'll get into this discussion a little bit later about musicians making, not necessarily writing the score, which he did, but curating soundtracks and whether that makes a soundtrack better or not.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. This movie, I should go back and watch this movie. I haven't watched it in a while.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
I love this movie.
It's great. Cusack rules.
I love Cusack. He really had like, Cusack had like a 10-year string of just making bangers.
I would say it's even longer than that, because you go back to like teen, like angsty,
yeah, you're right,
80s Cusack.
Better and off
now,
dead.
A lot of those movies are like, oh yeah. Well, I guess this extends into as far as High Fidelity too, is like, oh yeah, Cusack's playing a problematic character, but he's so damn charming. Although the whole point in the book is that, like, he's not a good dude.
Yeah.
And he's at fault for all of these problems that he keeps creating, and all of these, and like, it's his, they're his issues. And like in the book, he starts to kind of try to reckon with that. But I think because Cusack's so charming and everyone already loved Cusack at that point, it gets kind of lost that he's supposed to be bad guy in that movie.
I think so too. And I think also for like our generation who saw that movie younger, like it took me till I was in my 20s to like view him as a bad guy.
Yeah.
Because I think A, because he's so charming, and B, it's like, oh yeah, I want to talk about music and like girls are stupid. Like it's, but yeah, I agree with
it's
that.
It's similar to how like sometimes people misinterpret 500 Days of Summer as like JGL being like in the right in that movie and like he was scorned. And it's like, no, like he's the bad, like, well, not bad guy, because like obviously everything is shades of gray and stuff, but like he's in the wrong in that movie.
Yeah.
And just because you're seeing it through his eyes doesn't mean that like he's justified or whatever. And I think it's similar. Another movie that uses music pretty well.
Yes, I agree. That could have made the list for sure.
Yeah, Hero by Regina Spektor is just
and perfect. Us by Regina Spektor as well is featured heavy in that movie.
Yeah, just feature Regina Spektor heavy on your soundtrack. You'll be all right.
Yeah, let's just all go listen to Regina Spektor. We'll all feel better.
Are we ready to zoom ahead to the present day instead of living in the late 90s here?
Let's do it.
My next nomination is Someone Great, which came out on Netflix in 2019. It's a pretty cute and smart movie, if a bit formulaic, like the whole anti-rom-com thing. So it's Gina Rodriguez from Jane the Virgin and Lakeith Stanfield, who I would watch in literally anything at this point.
Yeah.
And it's fairly on the nose with the use of music because Gina Rodriguez plays an aspiring music journalist, which obviously puts music at the forefront. In our Postal Service episode, I brought this up. There's the unfortunate Ben Gibbard being referred to as the guy from the Postal Service and not the guy from Death Cab. That aside, they do a pretty good job here. Director Jennifer Caton Robinson handpicked the soundtrack herself. She told Rolling Stone that she wanted to make a movie highlighting music's influence on her own life. Before she had even cast Gina Rodriguez and Lakeith Stanfield, she decided on Lorde's Supercut as being the pivotal song for the movie. And for anyone unfamiliar or anyone who just wants to hear it because it's an amazing song, this is Supercut by Lorde.
In my head, I play a supercut of us. All the magic we gave off. All the love we had and lost. And in my head, the visions never stop. These ribbons wrap me up. But when I reach for you, there's just a supercut. In your car, the radio up. In your car, the radio up. We keep trying to talk about us. I'm someone you may be my love. I'll be your quiet afternoon crush. Be your violent overnight rush. Make you crazy over my touch. But it's just a supercut of us. Supercut of us. Oh, it's just a supercut of us. Supercut of us. But it's just a supercut of us. Supercut of us. Oh, it's just a supercut of us. Supercut of us. Cause in my head, I do everything right. When you call, I forgive and not fight. All the moments I play in the dark. I'm fluorescent, come home to my heart.
Yeah.
So in addition to the use of Supercut, Jennifer Robinson created a 500 song playlist as she was brainstorming for the soundtrack, which sounds like the most Blake and Jake shit imaginable. Hey, can you give us like 10 songs for this movie? Yeah, sure. Here are 500.
Yeah, I can't hear Supercut in my it's on the FIFA 18, I think. Oh, soundtrack. No. And it's just like it's so burned in my brain as being associated with that, that like it's hard for me to separate. But I will say Lord fucking rules.
In addition to Lord from the 500 song playlist, they included Lizzo kind of right as Lizzo was coming up. So a prescient choice there. Vampire Weekend, Haim, Superorganism, Blood Orange, Miski, Lil Kim, Robin, Sigrid, Who Rules, Frank Ocean, Phoebe Bridgers. They also have Jessie Reyes perform live. Jessie Reyes has a new album out, by the way, which you should check out and support that CanCon. This is an extremely, like, you're hip on the internet in 2019 soundtrack. It's really good. Not to say that we're hip. This is for other people who are cooler than us. They would be like, oh, yeah, that's the soundtrack. And it's a good movie. It's not, like, the best movie in the world. But as far as, like, rom-com-ish straight to Netflix, it's really good.
Yeah, I buy that.
Jake, you now have an album for us that we have talked about previously on main episodes of the podcast.
Yeah, I didn't want to put this one on this list only because we have talked about it so much, but I think it's so odd.
There's a reason we've talked about it so much,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, A, it's really good, and B, it's just such an odd soundtrack for what it is, and that is, of course, the Twilight New Moon soundtrack.
Which is, refresh me, the second Twilight movie?
I think so. Yes, looking at Wikipedia, yes, it's the second movie. I find it such an odd thing that there's, like, songs by major cool artists for the Twilight soundtrack. Just to go through it quickly, you have Death Cab for Cutie, Band of Skulls, Thom Yorke, Likey Lee, The Killers, Muse, Bon Iver and St. Vincent, Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, Seawolf, OK Go, Grizzly Bear, Editors. And then bonus tracks, depending on which country it came out in. The iTunes Deluxe version has a Lupe Fiasco song. It's crazy to me that this was made at all. The director said the soundtrack would feature the lead single, Meet Me in the Equinox by Death Cab, was here. I think it's written just for the movie.
Yeah, I think most of these songs are.
The St. Vincent Bon Iver song was created for the movie. It was just, and it did like incredibly well and was really well reviewed. I think of all the albums that we're talking about today, this is the closest to like one we could do an actual Columbia House Party episode on, because it like got reviewed and was on it debuted at number 2 on the Australian charts. Hit number 1 on the Billboard 200. It's certified platinum. It's like it was the 31st best-selling album of 2010.
Come on, man.
It sold over a million copies in 2010.
I know that I've asked you this before and we didn't have the answer, but I'm hoping you found out since. Is New Moon the one where they play baseball? Because I think I could stomach one Twilight movie, but I want the good soundtrack and the baseball all in one. I don't want to have to watch 3 Twilight movies to get all of this, or however many there are.
I think baseball is in the first one.
Okay. I have time for bad sports scenes in movies or bad sports movies.
Yes, me too.
All right. My next nomination gets us right back in that American Pie Can't Hardly Wait time frame, and I rewatched it to make sure that the soundtrack was used as well as it looks on paper, and it is. In 2002, Van Wilder came out. It is
a great choice.
And just like, what a snapshot of like if you want to pair that with American Pie 2 as what did we find funny in the early 2000s?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Also, speaking of sports scenes in movies randomly, yeah. The Los Angeles Clippers playing as the Coolidge College basketball team, and Van Wilder gives them gives Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson and Lamar Odom a halftime speech of, well, the girls from that sorority are going to party with the other team if you don't get this together. And then all of a sudden they all come out throwing down dunks everywhere. Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson. You can't see me, but I'm doing the horns on the head right now.
Of course.
Celebration. So the Van Wilder soundtrack is almost just Sugar Cult's album Start Static, which is an album I would love to do as an episode, but might be a little too niche for early on in the pod. They have a whole bunch of Sugar Cult songs throughout the course of the movie. If anyone had the uncensored DVD, they might remember that the main DVD screen was a girl cut off at her neck with big breasts, and Sugar Cult's Bouncing Off the Walls was playing. And if you left it on the screen long enough, she lifted her shirt.
That's right. Also, Bouncing Off the Walls is a great song.
It is awesome. Also, a very quarantine-appropriate song.
Yes. What's the other one? Stuck in America, I want to say?
They're Stuck in America, yeah. There are a few other ones that make the movie, if not the soundtrack. They also have Authority Song and Bleed American by Jimmy Eat World, or I guess Bleed American as before it was renamed.
That's right. Yeah, of course.
Sum 41 is on the soundtrack. Like I said, a bunch of Sugar Cult. N.E.R.D.'s on there. American Hi-Fi. Atomic Kitten. Early Sia. Michelle Branch, not everywhere, but You Get Me.
Really? It's not everywhere? Oh, no, Everywhere's in American Pie 2, I think.
Yes, in the montage of Jim and her prepping for Nadia's...
That's right, and Tara Reid. Right? Tara Reid and Rookie of the Year.
Yes, Rookie of the Year. I love that that guy was in every American Pie movie and is still just Rookie of the Year.
How can you not be
like Henry Rongartner.
Yeah, of course.
The soundtrack itself for Van Wilder loses a couple points just because, like... There are a bunch of instances of the movie using multiple songs from the same band. So like I said with Can't Hardly Wait, the soundtrack isn't quite as good as the, you know, if you just made a Spotify playlist of every song that's in the movie. But it's still pretty good. David Lawrence was the composer on Van Wilder. He got his start in movies doing Camp Nowhere, which is an awesome rewatch if you want to watch a movie from your childhood. And he was also involved with American Pie 1. American Pie 2, and a movie I had no idea it existed, a movie I can only assume is a sequel to Brendan Fraser and Pauly Shore's Encino Man. Encino Woman is a movie?
Come on.
I don't know. If I could find this, I'll watch it and I'll live tweet me watching Encino Woman. But apparently that's a thing.
Real quarantine shit right there.
Maybe the soundtrack's great because... David Lawrence is responsible for Van Wilder and had a hand in American Pie 1 and 2. So let's all check out Encino Woman together and report back in Discord.
Oh, boy.
Jake, it's your turn here, and you get to bring up one of my all-time favorite movies.
Yeah, so this is another soundtrack. I will say this is not one of my favorite movies. I never really got it as much as I think people around me did. I don't dislike it by any means, but it never clicked with me as like a classic. But the soundtrack is really a snapshot of 1998.
To time period it for you, it is Mark Paul Gosselaar's return.
Yes.
Like post Saved by the Bell, return to the acting world.
And he is very good in this movie.
Yes. Also Brunette, which catches you off guard. This is like Mark Paul Gosselaar's career stopped at Saved by the Bell and then starts like a second career here that eventually leads him to playing basically Russell Martin in Pitch. With, by the way, and Franklin and Bash is in there too.
Yeah. Didn't he go on like NYPD Blue or Law and Order right after this?
Underrated post Saved by the Bell career.
Agreed. Very.
He played Russell Martin. Like there's no way that character he wasn't just like, I'm Russell Martin. Anyway, he's great in this.
The movie is Dead Man on Campus. It is another movie that is curated by a musician, in this case, Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo, who's done many, many soundtracks. This soundtrack features a just terrible Golden Years cover by Marilyn Manson. Cowboy Song by Blur is on here. Elastica, Supergrass, that's not the Supergrass song that's featured heavily in the movie. In the movie, I believe Pumping on Your Stereo is really heavily featured, and they put on We Still Need More, which is a good song, but just odd. The Dust Brothers remix on here, a weird soul coughing remix of Super Bon Bon, a great classic song by the brilliant Power Man 5000 was on this.
Oh, no.
I'm kidding. It's a terrible song.
Like pre When Worlds Collide, Power Man 5000?
I think so, yeah. It's called
Organ. I didn't know that Power Man 5000 was a thing before like the new metal explosion of the 2000s.
And get this, it's called Organizized. Because it's...
All right.
It's, I don't know. Creed is on here.
That's twice now Creed's come up on the...
It is. There's a really weird, I kind of love how weird it is. It's a cover of I Only Want to Be With You that is Twiggy, the female British singer Twiggy, and Twiggy Ramirez, famously of Marilyn Manson's band, that they made this cover together as Twiggy and Twiggy. Jonathan Fire Eater is on here. And nice. My favorite song on this soundtrack, which was in high school genuinely one of my favorite songs, is Walking in the Dark by Goldfinger.
That song came out before Hoobastank, because I understood that, right? You had to be crawling in the dark before you could be walking in the dark.
Hoobastank.
Sorry, man.
No, that's fine. Also, Crawling in the Dark's a good song, but whatever.
It is.
So when I was in high school, the thing I would do is I would make myself mixes of bands I liked, and I would just, and that song is just from this soundtrack. Like, Gold, it's not on any album or like B-side collection or anything. And I could never figure out where the hell it was from, because it was just like, you know, you downloaded songs here and there from Soulseeker, Kazaa, or LimeWire, whatever you were using. And I could never figure out where this song was from. It wasn't until years later I was like, oh, it's from Dead Man on Campus. You can say a lot of things about Goldfinger, and I think you wouldn't be incorrect in most of them, especially John Feldmann's later production career. But this song kicks ass, and it's very much, obviously I love it because it's like ska Jace. And I actually think this is one of the first like ska tunes I got into without really realizing that it was ska, and then like being like, oh right, it's the Superman band. That makes sense. But yeah. Yeah, this song kicks ass, and it's a good movie.
Dead Man on Campus kicks ass. It's good. I like it more than you do. So I had, this came out in 1998. A movie called Idle Hands came out in 1999, and a movie called Slackers came out in 2002, and they all hold the same space for me in my head, where like I would rent these movies together in high school, and like, I don't know, they've always just been like linked in my head. And those other two movies have pretty good soundtracks too. Slackers, of course, includes Jason Schwartzman, who does Jason Schwartzman things in that movie. He's the best, and we could honestly do a Jason Schwartzman episode somehow.
I will defend Slackers as one of the best underrated comedies of that era.
It's great. It's awesome. Also, a great cast beyond just Jason Schwartzman. Devin Sawa is in that one. He's also in Idle Hands.
Young Jason Segel, I believe.
Yes.
Is in Slackers. Yes. Idle Hands is Seth Green.
Yes. And yeah. Devin Sawa.
Right.
And that movie does not have an elite soundtrack overall.
It's Jessica Alba.
Jessica
girl,
Alba. Yeah.
The girl. Yeah.
Yeah. Early Jessica Alba.
Yeah. Pre-Dark Angel, I want to say.
Yeah. So that movie doesn't have like an elite soundtrack overall, but it includes Blink-182, Rob Zombie, and The Offspring have a cameo in it.
They do, that's right.
So there you go. If you want some late 90s, early 2000s, we've got you all the way covered today.
Go watch Slackers is really what I'm taking away from this, because it rules.
You mentioned Superman by Goldfinger.
I did.
Keeping with the skateboarding theme, I'm going to nominate Grind, the 2003 movie involving Seth Cohen.
I'm so happy you picked this movie.
Grind is a skateboarding movie. trying to basically take advantage of the early 2000s Tony Hawk kind of skateboard boom. There is some truly bad on the soundtrack. POD, Simple Plan, Sean Paul make their way on. Having said that, they do manage to use nu metal and like nu metal adjacent stuff pretty well. And the way they blend reggae, punk, ska all together kind of to create this, like the skateboarding scene was weird and it was all over the place musically. And they do a good job capturing that in this movie. They have Seeing Red by Unwritten Law, which I love.
A great song.
The Used are on the soundtrack. Less Than Jake, Shine Down, Sublime again, Lil' Kim again. Lil' Kim is on all of these soundtracks. Yeah, basically it's the movie version of a Tony Hawk soundtrack, complete with Bucky Lassick and Bob Burnquist cameos.
And the classic dance montage to Bust a Move for some reason.
Yes. And they get bonus points for Jason London being in the movie, who is the patron saint of forgotten soundtracks, since we talked about Out Cold recently.
Yeah. Grind is awesome. Genuinely, one of the first things that Cassie and I bonded over was that she really likes Grind. And I was like, I didn't know anyone else remembered Grind.
All right. Jake, you got your final nomination here.
So going a little different for the fifth one. I would say that the other four are all very rooted in nostalgia for me. This one I just think rules, and that is the Trent Reznor, Atticus Ross score of The Social Network, a movie that's holding up really well, by the way. But this soundtrack is just an incredible score, and the way it works with the movie is really great. I think this is one of the first scores of a soundtrack that I like listened to a lot. The song In Motion, it was one of my favorite songs of that year. We were talking about how, you know, some movies like American Pie 2 and Dead Men on Campus to a lesser extent and Can't Really Wait really blend the music with the movie and one enhances the other. This does that so well with an original score, which I think is interesting.
And difficult.
And like the music is going pretty constantly through this movie in the background. And I also think it really was sort of a bit of a turning point in Trent Reznor's career also, where him and Atticus Ross have become like soundtrack guys now.
Yeah. And I mean, you mentioned earlier, like Mark Mothersbaugh and Joe Strummer. And then like you look at Kendrick Lamar doing the Black Panther soundtrack. Like it's kind of a thing. Like Mothersbaugh did Life Aquatic too.
Yep.
The Wes Anderson movie. It's kind of the way, and like Reznor is amazing at this stuff.
Yeah. Oh my God. And now he's like, they did the score to the Watchmen TV show. They obviously did Girl with the Dragon Tattoo with David Fincher again after this one, which isn't a great movie, but the soundtrack fucking rules. The Karen O Immigrant Song cover is so good. And yeah, it's just, I think it's so interesting. And it's been really interesting how, to me, as a Nine Inch Nails fan, how now Nine Inch Nails are kind of just Atticus Ross and Trent Reznor making whatever they want. And like they've stopped really being sort of a traditional band setup. And they're just kind of like, they put out Ghosts 5 and 6, and it's just weird instrumentals that.
Why not?
That they make together. And we'll probably do a Nails episode at some point and we'll get more into this. But yeah, The Social Network is great and The Social Network is aging so well and it's still so good.
All right. I'm cheating for my last one and putting two movies together because they are kids movies from the same time. And I feel like we can jam them together. I'm going with Clock Stoppers and Digimon the movie.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe it either. And I'm sorry for saying so like era dependent on the early 2000s here. Clock Stoppers, the soundtrack kind of starts out as like the typical like, oh, we're going to play what was edgy and popular on the radio like a couple years ago. They have like Smash Mouth, Sugar Ray, Simple Plan, Nickelback. Then you dig deeper and they've also got two Blink 182 songs and a Third Eye Blind song and a Phoenix TX song and a Dandy Warhol song and Lit and the Cranberries. It's an unbelievably deep soundtrack if you can get past like Smash Mouth, Sugar Ray, Simple Plan as the start. It's really, really good. And shout out to the Nickelodeon budget
on
this one.
Of course.
Like, oh my God. The Digimon soundtrack isn't quite as good as Clockstoppers, but I just remember being very caught off guard when my youngest brother was watching it. So he would have been like 9 or 10 at the time, and I would have been 14 or 15. Again, this is a soundtrack with the qualifier, if you can get past Smash Mouth, the rest of the soundtrack is really good. But my surprise when I come down and my brother's watching a Digimon movie and this song is playing. Song is All My Best Friends Are Metalheads by Less Than Jake. Digimon are ska. I didn't realize this.
Fuck yeah.
There is also Mighty Mighty Boss Stones on the soundtrack. And then there's also Bare Naked Ladies, Len, Fatboy Slim. It's a better soundtrack than a Digimon you'd expect a Digimon movie to have.
I think the fact that the Digimon movie has a soundtrack of like modern music at all is amazing.
Yeah. So Clockstoppers is the better choice for this final spot. It's actually a really good soundtrack, but I am shoehorning Digimon in as a tie because finding out that Digimon are ska was I don't know. It's entertaining to me, and it makes me wonder if there are any ska Pokemon.
I was going to say this Digimon being ska is one of the many reasons that Digimon is better than Pokemon.
Okay. I'm not super familiar with either. So
I was very much like that both those shows and so I guess products, like I was right in the right age for them. So it's like that. I have opinions is what I would say.
I want to get to some honorable mentions here.
Yeah.
Because obviously we're only doing a top five each. There are some great movie soundtracks that get left out. First, I need to honorable mention Karen Rotman, who is a music supervisor who's done the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack, Clueless, Reality Bites.
Okay.
Overall, her soundtracks have sold over 75 million copies.
Jesus Christ.
Like movies, the soundtracks for movies she's a music supervisor on.
Wow.
At least according to Wikipedia. She is like, if you were to scroll through every music supervisor's Wikipedia, she's like basically untouchable. We kind of discussed in terms of favorite needle drops in movies. I have always appreciated how Wes Anderson uses music, specifically in Royal Tenenbaums and Rushmore. I don't think either of the soundtracks on their own stand up for this list, but I wanted to give an honorable mention there. And then I have a list of other movies that I'm sure everyone has their own favorites. The hardest cut for me was Remember Me, the 2010 Robert Pattinson movie.
That movie has one of the most out of left field endings I have ever seen. I'm not going to spoil it, but damn.
Yeah. Do you have any honorable mentions that you wanna throw out there, or what your hardest cut was?
Yeah, we've talked about it before. Obviously, Out Cold, classic. Yes.
Among a number of turn of the century teen movies, yeah. Like you could throw Euro Trip in there, Tank Girl.
Yeah, we would Clueless. We would be remiss to do a soundtrack episode and not discuss Scotty Doesn't Know, the greatest Matt Damon scene of all time.
Yes. Also, I will say, only the second best use of an original comedy song, topped wow. by, in my opinion, topped by Please Mr. Kennedy from Inside Llewyn Davis.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2,
1 second, please.
Please, Mr. Kennedy,
I
don't want to go.
Don't show me in the outer space.
Oh, please. I sweat when they stuff me in the pressure suits. Rubble helmet, flash board and boots. Nowhere a
fit
in gravity
suits.
I need to breathe,
outer.
Don't need to be a
space.
Hero. Are you reading me loud and clear? Roll, oh, please, Mr. Kennedy.
Uh-oh.
I don't want to go.
Please
don't show me
in the outer space.
Oh, please, Mr. Kennedy.
Uh-oh.
I don't want to go.
Please don't show
me
space.
too. So perhaps you'll tell me how I'm fit into a five capsule. I won't be known as man of the century if I'm open upon re-entry. Got a red blooded wife
Outer.
With a healthy libido. You'll lose her vote
Outer.
If you make her a widow. And who will play catch out in the back with our kid? Please, Mr. Kennedy.
No offense to Matt Damon as the front man singing Scotty Doesn't Know. I think I'd take Timberlake and Adam Driver Outer
Space.
Space.
I need to rewatch that movie. I love that movie.
I watched it not that long ago. I think I watched it on a flight or something.
That's a good plane movie.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I mean, like, and there's obviously the sort of slew of indie rock movies. You touched on 500 Days of Summer earlier. There's, of course, Garden State.
Eternal Sunshine.
Eternal Sunshine. You have it listed here, and I'm going to bring it up just because it's still so good. Not another teen movie. Both a good soundtrack and a really funny movie.
I haven't watched that in forever. I know the soundtrack's good, but...
We rewatched it last year. A lot of it still genuinely holds up as being funny.
And just so we're not strictly indie rock, on the hip-hop heavier side, Black Panther, Do the Right Thing, Soul to the Hole would be my three kind of honorable mention on that side. Soul to the Hole is a little weird to go back to, but really good soundtrack. Oh, Belly has a really good soundtrack too, which is an interesting snapshot. If we're talking interesting snapshots of a period and how music kind of attaches to a cultural period, that's an interesting one to go back to.
And I will also say you have a list here, but just talking about original songs, Three Small Words from Josie and the Pussycats. Incredible song.
Oh, speaking of originals, friend of the podcast, Jacob Mack, was tweeting about this. Some of the music that Metric and Broken Social Scene do for Scott Pilgrim is really good. I don't think it's hard to put that to contextualize that soundtrack because it is like real bands playing as fake bands in like tiny snippets for the movie. But the actual soundtrack is pretty good. And like, I'm not a huge Broken Social Scene guy, but those songs are really good Broken Social Scene songs.
Yeah. And I love Broken Social Scene. I'm not a Metric fan, but the use of Black Sheep with Brie Larson in that is so good.
I ran the Baldwin steps today, so Scott Pilgrim's all over my mind. All right. We had a little bit more of a sub-question at the end, but I think we should probably wrap this up. Do you have any other thoughts before we head out, Jake?
Just, I'm stuck on Josie and the Pussycats again, and I forgot that Kay Henley from Letters to Cleo is Josie's singing voice.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea. That's a movie I looked at the soundtrack when I was like trying to brainstorm and think of things that I remember having good soundtracks, but I would have to get a feel for that movie. I'd really have to go back.
It's a good movie. It's like very oddly anti-capitalist.
Sweet. That's a movie for our times.
Yeah, absolutely.
Comrade Josie. Comrade Welcome to Josie. The Resistance.
And Three Small Words is a great song.
Jake, we got to pick one of these songs that we discussed today for the mixtape.
Ooh, I mean, like part of me wants to pick Please, Mr. Kennedy.
It is fucking ridiculous, which
I am going to argue for Phoebe Cates by Phoenix TX because it's so stupid, but it's such a, as you said, it's a song about masturbating to a scene that's a guy masturbating, and what else sums up the early 2000s teen comedy boom than that?
I'm in agreement with you. I think we agree that American Pie 2 is the best soundtrack in terms of, you know, being an extension of the movie and the cultural moment. And I'm cool with that as a song choice. You know, we could have, I don't think there's a need to put Blink on the B side of our mixtape. I think we're fine going a little deeper.
I haven't forgiven John Feldman for his production in California, so it can't be a Goldfinger song.
There you go. Yeah. And I guess, you know, putting a comedy song on when it's not an episode about comedy songs, although that could be an episode of its own, you know, or at least like a mini playlist of its own. You bring in some of the Andy Samberg stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, guys, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again soon.